Believe it or not, I'm not the boss. Pastors aren't called to churches to be the boss. They're called to be servant leaders. Pastors are called to join with the others who make up the body of Christ, that we can be priests one with another. Today's text talks about living stones. It's kind of an oxymoron. What is a living stone? Well, one way we're living a stone is through our joys and concerns. Now, I know some people don't quite appreciate joys and concerns, but let me try to describe how I see that happening so well here in this place. We share joys and concerns as an act of prayer for one another, with one another. But even before that, you're a living stone. I hope you're praying for the preaching, for the worship that you're engaged in, that we are doing together. But in this joys and concerns time, we are connecting. One reason I don't do a lot with that, because that is you praying for the others. It might be a great joy, it might be a sadness, it might be for someone out here, it might be within this church family or within your families. But that's one way. You are acting out being the priesthood of all believers. That's one way you're being a living stone. Now, the Apostle Paul gives some further instruction about this to the church of Corinth. It was a divided church. It was fighting and arguing, and it was trying to seek power. And we have some of that going on in the Church of the Brethren right now. Who's going to believe properly? Who's going to see it right? They're forgetting they're living stones that are called to go like this, build like the children's story was today, flipping the guy with perfect balance, landing on top of the shoulders. We are there one with another, building a spiritual house. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, the members have the same care for one another if, notice the if one member suffers, all shall care for one another and suffer together. If one member is honored, all shall rejoice together. The early brethren understood this as being priests to one another. Now remember, they were in disarray. Their life had become interrupted. They were not happy in the churches they were a part of because it was a controlling environment. People were telling them how they ought to act and how they ought to speak, and most of it was in connection with the empire. The kingdom, the kings, the princes had lots of power over the people. There was not a separation of church and state, and there is a reason why the Church of the Brethren and other free churches wanted to be free from the state, because they believed that they should be controlled by God and not by an emperor or a king. Today is a good text to give us an example of what happens when the king is trying to control. The exiled gentle converts. Now realize, in this time, these are people that are early in the Christian journey. They are being birthed into, by Peter and Paul, into this new life of Jesus Christ. They make up a large territory, similar to today's Turkey. There was a large group of them, and they were being suppressed. They were actually being scapegoated for Nero the king, and we kind of know how that works in today's society, don't we? Want to distract from something? Bring something else up. Blame somebody else. That's kind of how it works in all of our organisms and organizations within culture, and especially within government. Nero the king had a passion, an obsession. In July 1980-64, it is believed that he set fire to the city of Rome because he wanted to build new, beautiful buildings. And so this fire burned and killed people, and it was such a fire that even as they got it suppressed, they got it almost out, it burst forth with even more violence and was doing great destructions. So Nero said, it's those Christians over there, they're the reason for this great fire. Because in their teaching, they truly believed at the end of time there was going to be a big fire. So our scripture this morning was written as words of encouragement. And Peter is saying, remember who you really are. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And here is the underlining point, God's own people. Think about those words. What did they mean to you? They are rather big words, and we're not going to unpackage them. Maybe in the talk back we can do a little more with that. But from time to time, we need encouragement. I think we've been on that journey with one another, kind of encouraging one another to move to a new place. And it's not all about a pastor's leaving. It's about who God's calling us to be. And what Peter's doing with these early Gentile Christians is calling them back to the roots. He identifies them as living stones, as Leslie so well pointed out in various stages of our worship this morning. And these stones are to be built with Christ right together as a cornerstone. The cornerstone is what holds the building together. You pull it out and it begins to crumble. It begins to be less than what it could be. Now, in the earliest verses of this text today, it says, rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Those are big words. He's saying, remember who you are and get rid of bad habits like malice, inclination to hurt one's neighbor, or the inclination to get better of your neighbor, or insincerity, or envy, or slander. For you now are a different people, called to make different choices, called to be caring for one another that others might see that care and want to be a part of it as well. It's more than just liking each other. It's more than just being intimate friends with each other. It's genuinely supporting, encouraging, helping one another along the way. I think our deacon body does that pretty well. They provide opportunity support. When Kara is baptized in a couple weeks, she will come up out of the water and be received by a deacon wrapped in a towel. An act of love, a welcoming, being with her so that she feels warmly welcome into this household of faith. She will join at later time connecting with all of us. And our job is to share loving words of encouragement and to remind her by the way we live that Jesus is the cornerstone and we are the living stones that build up, that build hope, that offer something totally different than anything else in this culture. I read a statement by Elmer G. Homerhausen, I think I said it right, from the Interpreter's Bible in preparation for the sermon that first caused me to laugh, and then it sucked the air, the breath out of me. The Christian is under compulsion to grow from birth into maturity. When the Christian or church ceases to yearn for growth in grace and knowledge, both are on their way to senility. Senility is when we begin to forget. Forget how to care for one another. Forget to remember who we're called to be, located in this community, in this place. The early brethren, when they felt this persecution and this separation, instead of walking away from the faith, I suppose some did, But many began leaning in, and they opened the Bible, and they listened to each other as they read it together, as the Holy Spirit gave them words to reshape, reform, rethink who God is calling them to be as a community of believers. It's quite an experience when we do that, when we listen to the words of each other. We have been talking with one another, and I learned a new technique that I want to learn to do myself, and that's called a wordle. A wordle is a combination of words that allow the key phrases, the key understandings to surface. And it's talking about such things that we talked about regarding small groups, encouragement, connection to the community. It's a wonderful experience to read and watch how the words thin out, but they support one another. I want to remind you that the transition team, and I'm grateful for this transition team, they are working with one another in a way that I've never seen a group of people work before. And I've done a lot of working with people. But they're taking these words, they're looking at Scripture, and they're beginning to come to a sense of some key core values that eventually be here for us to struggle with as a group. For it's the core values that drive us. It's the core values that feed us as living stones and give us the courage to be. Yesterday at district conference, they kept talking about being. Being in a loving relationship with one another and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. I heard it over and over and over again. I think it's relevant, and we're saying it more because some of us have forgotten about that. Because if you're in a loving relationship, how does that work? If you love God, how do you show that love for God? If you love your neighbors, how do you pay attention to your neighbors? If you love one another, how do you treat each other? Loving God, loving neighbor, as we love ourselves. Today's scripture does not say it specifically, but leads one to believe that the church of Asia Minor, even though suffering and being pushed to the margins, and that's what's happened to the Church of North America, and part of it's our own doing. We've become ingrown, we've been turned into a building, and we forget we are an organic body of people who carry good news out there in the world where we live. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying I always do that, but I try, and I invite us to keep trying as well. Because what will make us relevant again to the young people who are spiritually searching in this land for truth and community and mission alive is our becoming alive to truth and community and mission alive. I believe already we're beginning to capture a new thought about ourselves. I don't know if anybody entered by this entranceway or not, but did you see the painted door? It was all moldy and yucky looking. It's now fresh and looks nice. We now are planning to take care of holes in the ceilings that have kind of bothered some, and particularly in one or two bathrooms was really a problem for people that entered there. That is planned. That is ready to go. We are getting some estimates to shine our floors. Now, that's all a part of showing people who enter this place that we do care. We care about how our house looks. But I'm just as interested, do we care as much about how this spiritual house that 1 Peter talks about looks? Are we willing to put on the clothing of Christ and be Christ to one another and see in each other the presence of the living Christ? The practice and care for one another and the discovery of our priestly function is just as critical to the freshening up of the house of worship. It makes a difference in how others see us and whether God is able to use us as a royal priesthood and God's own people. It begins right here in our praising and thanking God for salvation. In our seeing our brothers and sisters who gather here with us as important and as much in need of God's love, grace, and forgiveness as we are. It begins here as we remember each Sunday and every day of the week what we would not have if this gracious body of love and support and encouragement was not there for our faith walk. As a priesthood of all believers, we deeply care for and pray for each other, as well as keep an eye open for unity, so that we might proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness into His light. And why is this important? So that He can send us forth in this community to bring good news to the poor, food and clothing and furniture, to work for the release of captive, those who are captivated by the things that tear down life, tear apart life, rather than build up life, to offer new sight to the blind, those who have not yet seen the truth of the cornerstone and what it means to be a living stone, and called us out of darkness into a marvelous life that we might be His people. I think the ending of today's text says it all. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have mercy. Thanks be to God. And let us not forget that we tell others that they are a people, and they in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our life, have received mercy. Amen.